Writer Rowan Jacobson infiltrated a secret society in Montreal. It has a free-for-all competition. In fact, its leader, who Rowan only refers to as K, when the leader was describing the group, he says, "Think Fight Club." Well, Rowan got the story for Vice magazine, and he's here to tell the tale. Rowan, good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Lynn.
Now I've got to give away what we're talking about. Okay, the title of your piece is Getting Drunk on Tea Infusions with Montreal's Underground Connoisseurs. What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about tea, but it's not quite the tea that we all grew up with. So this is, it took me a few years to really to penetrate these underground tea circles, but the hardcore tea addicts out there, or tea hipsters, you might call them, drink tea in a completely different way than we tend to think of tea being drunk here in the U.S. They drink tea almost like espresso. It's very intense, lots more tea leaves, and very little water, about what you would drink in an espresso cup. And they drink cup after cup after cup. And some of these guys, like the ones that I was hanging out with, go deep into the night doing that.
And do they bring their own teas, or are these teas from a particular tea shop?
Well, all over the place. So yeah, when Kay, the ringleader, when I finally invited me into it, he said, think Fight Club. And what that means in this case is that they all want to basically blow away the other guys. So some of the teas were from this high-end shop in Montreal, mm-hmm. That Kay runs, but others were special things that they had sought out. A lot of the best teas are really hard to find. You have to have some connection in China or Taiwan. And once you have one of these great teas, which are insanely expensive, then you sort of save it and show it off to your friends. So this night was all about everybody bringing stuff that you weren't going to be able to find anywhere else and showing off.
So set the scene for us. I mean, where are we? What do these people look like? Who are they? And how is the tea brewed?
So, okay, this is in Montreal in the Latin Quarter, which is kind of the bohemian district in Montreal. And I got the invite and said, come after hours, right? That's the name of this club. So dark was falling, and I showed up at the shop, and they let me in. There were a few people in there already. They locked the doors, pulled the drapes. Then a few other people would come and knock on the door, and they'd let those in. And this group was, if I describe them, one thing I've noticed about tea hipsters is they tend to be, they're mostly guys. They tend to be very skinny and kind of have like this sunken-eyed look. The best way I can describe them is that they all look like they stumbled out of a Wes Anderson film. Okay. So there was a lot of French. There's mixed with English, so it was kind of intimidating for me. But I sat down at this table, and there were all these kettles, these electric kettles boiling, like six of them going at once, and tons of strange little baggies with dried herb in them, all over the table, and people were pulling them out of their pockets and stuff. So it definitely felt like I was sliding into this strange drug subculture that I had no idea existed.
So tell me about specifically some of the teas that you were tasting.
Okay, so we started off with a white tea, which is a very, very light tea. It's made with just the new buds of the tea plant and the tiny little first leaves when it's budding out. So it's super mild. And that was definitely more of just like a warm-up to get us going. But then as the night progressed, we would go to greens and then oolongs. And then toward the evening, we shifted to pu'ers, which are kind of like the holy grails of tea. They're aged for decades sometimes, very, very expensive, and they have an intense, deep flavor that, if I had to describe it, I would say it's like, it tastes like things that grow in the dark. You know, it's very weird.
What I remember about pu'er is they come in balls or in little patties. They don't look like tea leaves. They look like a little cake or something.
Right, that's the tradition, is to press them into the little bird's nests, right, which are called tuo cha, and then they're also pressed into these little like 250-gram frisbees, like little half-pound frisbees, uh-huh. And you break off a little chunk of it, just like with hashish, for example, and just brew that little chunk, and yeah, it takes you to a different place. So this was I'd always liked tea, but I had not known that tea could take you to these ethereal realms.
you quote Kay, and Kay says, with great teas, I always look for that special feeling. Westerners taste from the neck up, but in Asia, they taste with their whole body. And then he says, nice bib on that one, as he's tasting the tea, tracing the chi down his chest. Was this the sensation that your entire body was being affected?
Absolutely. As the cups of tea build up, you really do start to realize that you're thinking differently about your body and about time even. Like, one thing I've realized is that coffee is all about like the future. It's a very entrepreneurial drink where you drink it and you're like scheming for the future. And the more tea you have, the more you just sort of like leave all the worldly concerns behind and get in this big little bubble of the present, which is really nice.
It sounds amazing. Does the perception of reality keep changing in that way? I mean, does it keep evolving?
It does, and it's all about time. Your sense of time just keeps changing, and you get very happy, right? Because you actually have quite a bit of caffeine percolating in you by that point. And so you do, you get lost in this little space, which I think is why tea has always been associated so closely with meditation and Buddhism in the East.
This is really heading into, as you said, a completely different realm.
Yeah, it took me a while to make that flip in my mind, because I was really coming from what you might call a wine perspective. When I tasted things that were supposed to be really good, I was trying to figure out what those flavors were in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And the tea guys, that's almost beside the point, what it tastes like in your mouth. Like, if it tastes good, if it smells good, great. But they call it the echo sometimes. Like, after you've swallowed, what's the echo? How does your body feel from that experience? And the echo can even come up into your head. And so I had to learn to just think differently and not pounce on the flavor in my mouth and just let the experience kind of evolve.
Unforgettable, right?
Unforgettable. It's changed my life. I am a hardcore tea convert now.
I have to ask you this. Can you tell us who Kay is?
All right, I think he'd be fine with a reveal. So his name is Kevin Gascoigne, and he runs a shop in Montreal called Camellia Sinensis, where I get most of my teas. And actually, this is a great time to do so, because the Canadian dollar is really in the tank right now, so it's a good time to order from Canada.
Hey, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Rowan Jacobson's article on tea tasting was published in Vice magazine. Rowan's latest book is The Essential Oyster. Now, for an unusual tea recipe, take a look at our new video with Indian chef Raghavan Iyer. He shows us how to make his delicious recipe for tea-infused potatoes. Now, can you imagine? It's really simple, and trust me, it's really good. Find it at splendidtable.org.